Rise and shine, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy you're here. This is Amy's Kids Show, and boy, we are going to keep on celebrating. We're going to keep on celebrating. Last week, we were celebrating our rooster friends who are professionals at Rising and Shining, aren't they? I mean, they were in here crowing away, and I think there's roosters out there this morning probably crowing away. And thank heaven for roosters and how much they love to crow, right? Thank heaven that they have the courage to crow. Because, you know, roosters are so important. We learned last week about our rooster friends and how their courage to crow actually makes them bully-proof. Nobody can bully them because they know that they're here to crow, no doubt, right? And so, this week, we're going to take a moment to ponder a very important point. Because where did roosters come from? Well, every rooster started out as an egg, right? And every egg came from a chicken. So this week, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to celebrate what came first? The chicken and the egg, right? Because that really is what came first. That's what gave us all the roosters in the world and keeps giving us all the roosters in the world because, you know, nature is just amazing. There's often so much abundance, so much extra, so many of us here. And that is just a great thing. That's how nature works. And when roosters do what's natural and they crow, and when chickens do what's natural and they lay eggs, and when we humans do what's natural, then we all have like a big party together, and that's what we're going to be celebrating today. How do chickens and eggs and people party together? How do we celebrate every day on this planet together? Well, there are a couple of really important ways that we take care of each other, because that's what it's all about, right? Here on planet Earth is taking care of each other, doing what we're naturally here to do, and then therefore naturally taking care of each other. And so we're going to be celebrating how chickens and eggs take care of us and how we take care of them. I've actually met a couple of kids in the past couple days who were telling me all about their chickens and how much they love them. And I just love to see kids walking around with a chicken in their arms. I mean, that's what they are doing when they're taking care of their chickens. They're loving them. They're feeding them. They're talking to them and singing to them. And making sure they're safe, right? How many of you out there are doing that for your chickens? Or maybe for somebody else in your life besides chickens? It all comes around, folks. Let's celebrate.
See me grow. Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop. That's the way I grow. Do you want to see me eat? Do you want to see me eat? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop. Like a piggy eats. Do you want to see me drink? Do you want to see me drink? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop. Like a horsey drinks. Zoop, zoop, zoop. Zoopity zoop. Zoop, 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 zoopity zoop.
Do you want to see me swim? Do you want to see me swim? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop. Like a fishy swims. Do you want to see me run? Do you want to see me run? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop. Like a doggy runs. Do you want to see me grow? Do you want to see me grow? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop. That's the way I grow.
see me hop. Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop, like a rabbit hop.
Do you wanna see me climb? Do you wanna see me climb? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop, like a monkey climbs. Zoop, 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 zoopity zoop. 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 Do you want to see me sleep? Do you want to see me sleep? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop, like a baby sleeps.
Do you want to see me grow? Do you want to see me grow? Zoop, zoop, zoopity zoop, that's the way I grow. Zoop, 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 zoopity zoop. Zoop, 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 zoopity zoop. Zoop, 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 zoopity zoop. Zoop, 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 zoopity zoop.
Chickens are all over the world. They live on every continent except Antarctica. Some people estimate there are over 25 billion chickens in the world, meaning there are more chickens than any other kind of bird. This also means there are way more chickens on Earth than humans. There are only 7 billion humans on the planet. Baby chickens are called chicks. They're born from eggs and take 21 days to hatch. Hens, or female chickens, will sit on their eggs to keep them warm enough for the chicks to come out healthy. Hens will also talk to their chicks while they're still in the eggs. Each chicken sound has a specific meaning, like their own language. A chicken has more bones in its neck than a giraffe. Chickens were domesticated around 8,000 years ago. Now you can find chickens on farms and as pets all over the world. Did you know that chickens have great memories? They can remember over 100 different people or animal faces. Chickens can be all kinds of colors, shapes, and sizes. Male chickens, called roosters, are often more colorful than the females. Almost all chickens have small heads compared to their bodies, with scaly legs and sharp claws. Chickens have full color vision and dream a lot like humans do. You may have seen a chicken peck at its food before. So silly looking. Chickens eat worms, insects, seeds, grains, fruits and veggies, and all kinds of other foods.
Hey there. You're a chicken. And I'm a turkey. And here is my love song, just to you.
I love your wings. I love your beak. You do those things, they're so unique. I love your eyes, the way you walk. I love your voice, the way you squawk. I'm so alone, alone and blue. Come be my own and love. You need to know about my love. Hey, where'd you go, my turkey dove? Hey, where'd you go, my turkey dove?
Well, how do you like that? Another one flies the coop. Okay, she's not the only bird on this farm. Uh-huh. Hey there. You're a duck, and I'm a turkey. And here is my love song, just to you. I love your wings, I love your bill. You do those things, they're such a thrill. I love your eyes, your ruffled back. I love your voice, the way you quack. Come on, be with me, what do you say? Hey, this could be your lucky day. Hey, this could be your lucky day. Your lucky day. Your lucky day. Your lucky ducky. Ducky. Oh, pretty ducky. Hey, hello? Darn.
Friends, we are here in a chicken tractor. And why are we in a chicken tractor, Selah?
Because we're hanging out with some chicks.
We are hanging out with some chicks. And whose chicks are these?
My chicks.
They are Selah's chicks. And we're not sure exactly what kind they are, but we believe that they're Lavington Orpington. We didn't purchase these chicks. Where'd you get these chicks from, Selah?
My Nene got them for me.
She sure did. Her grandmother, Lacey's mom, bought these chicks for Selah. Because here recently, not too long ago actually, Selah lost one of her chickens. I don't know if the full-grown chickens that we had from last year that we got her. And she got these chicks as a replacement. As some replacements, I should say. And these chicks are pretty neat. Selah carries them around with her in her lap, treats them like a baby, like this one right here, and it's kind of funny. But when you got these chicks, Selah, what did I say to you when you got these chicks?
That I had to take care of them all by myself.
Sure did. I am pretty busy on the farm, juggling a lot with the ducks, the full-grown chickens, running the market garden, and besides, Selah has been doing a fantastic job taking care and helping out with a lot of the animals around the farm. She gives feed to the dogs on a regular basis, checks their water. She also gathers the eggs for me. And she, on a regular basis, she helps out with the ducks and the adult chickens as well. So I felt, hey, it's time you learn to take care of some animals pretty much all by yourself. I just come check on you here and there, but pretty much, you've done a great job raising these chicks from very tiny. She was raising them in a container that we had with a grow light, making sure they stay warm, providing them with water and feed on a regular basis. And just yesterday, you and Ben graduated them from inside into the chicken tractor here, right?
Yep.
Sure did. But like I said, you've been taking them all over the place. One time you were helping me out in the garden, took the chicks out there and they were just hanging out in your dump truck, your Tonka dump truck, just waiting for you, ready to come back, come play with them and hold them again. So they have imprinted on you very, very well. What is your favorite part about having chicks?
That they're fun to play with.
They are?
Yeah.
You're like a mother hen or something when you carry those around. It's just so cute. So, you're going to actually be taking care of them, continue to take care of them here in this chicken tractor, making sure they have fresh grass. I'll help you a little bit if you need help moving it, but you can actually move it by yourself, can't you?
Yep.
And you're going to continue to feed them and take care of them. Have you named any of them yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Do you have any names in mind that you want to use?
I really don't think so, but maybe for this one, Cheep.
Cheep, because they keep cheeping. What happens when they stop cheeping? Because you know they change sounds when they get older. They don't kind of cheep anymore. Are they cheap if they cheap? That is very cool. Do you think other kids should raise animals too?
Yeah.
I think it's so beneficial to kids and adults, too, to raise animals of some kind. It just helps you be more connected with nature. Also, grow things in a garden, even if it's just a small container plot that you're growing things in. It's so beneficial for people to be connected with the world around them, the natural world around us. It's so beneficial. And there's so many studies that show that as well. But having children have responsibilities like this is huge. It's very important. So I encourage you all, as I've encouraged myself, if you have kids or grandkids, encourage them to raise animals, grow something. It is so, so very important and beneficial. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
So, as Josiah and Michael grow, they're going to be doing some of this too.
Yep.
Also, as adults and kids, we want things. So it's very important that we learn the proper responsibilities of taking care of things and the discipline involved with it too. Because there's days when it's not so fun to be outside, and it's whether it's cold or it's too hot or whatever, you just don't feel like getting out of bed, that you still got to get out and you still got to take care of those animals. Is that right? Yep. There's been times where it was just snow and ice on the ground and I still had to go outside and take care of the ducks. But you've been there with me some of those times.
Yeah.
This one time wasn't really fun at all. I fell. It was kind of icy. I fell, hit my shoulder. But you know what? Still got to get done. Life goes on. They have needs. We all have needs. And those needs have to be met to continue to live, right?
Yep.
All righty.
All righty, folks. We are celebrating all kinds of things here today. We're celebrating, well, needs and how we all have needs. We all have things that we need to live here on planet Earth. But no fear, no fear, no, no. In fact, this is just another reason to love life and love being part of it, because it's coming together and sharing. That's how we help each other meet our needs. And today we are celebrating just that. We are exactly celebrating just that. We are celebrating roosters still, but we are also celebrating where roosters came from, right? What came first? An egg. And what came before the egg? A chicken, right? So we're celebrating all those things because we love chickens and eggs. Well, many of us do. And many of us love roosters out there. I've met many chicken lovers in my life. And so we are celebrating those chickens because we love them and they love us. They share their abundance with us and we share our abundance with them. Well, what's an abundance? Well, abundance just means more than we will ever need. Plenty to share. So if we have plenty to share, of course we want to give it away, right? And chickens happen to have plenty of eggs to share. Plenty! And they love to share them with us. And we humans, what do we have to share with them? Well, we share love, don't we? Did you hear how that girl, Sayla, really loves her chickens and takes such good care of them? She uses her heart and she uses her intelligence, her smarts, right, to take care of them, to keep them safe in the chicken tractor. She uses her muscles to carry the tractor around. And what does she build her muscles out of? Well, protein. And protein comes from eggs. So, see, we're all kind of taking care of each other, and we couldn't do it without each other. It's just the facts. And so we're celebrating this idea of sharing our love with each other and our help with each other and our abundance with each other through several stories today. So we had Sayla's story about raising her chicks. Now we have another one. This one's called The Problem with Chickens, by Bruce McMillan. In a small village on the far end of Iceland, there were plenty of eggs, even if there were no chickens. The eggs were on the cliffs where the wild birds lived. There were more eggs here than the ladies of the village could ever use for cooking. But it was too difficult for the ladies to get these eggs. Their husbands might have gathered them, but the men were always too busy fishing and farming. So the ladies traveled to the city to buy some chickens. The chickens were happy in the village. Every day they laid many eggs. The ladies were overjoyed to have so many eggs for cooking. Their cakes were delicious. That is when the problem started. See, the chickens were having so much fun with the ladies and hanging out that they forgot they were chickens. They started acting like ladies. When the ladies went to pick blueberries, the chickens went too. When the ladies went to a birthday party, the chickens went too. When the ladies sang to the sheep, the chickens sang too. Oh, and I wish you could see this picture of the ladies singing and the chickens singing and the sheep with their smiles. Oh, it's so great. When the ladies took a rest from their gardening, the chickens rested too. Everything the ladies did, the chickens did too. The ladies couldn't even have tea and cake by themselves. The chickens were so busy acting like ladies that one day they stopped laying eggs. That's when the lady said, "We have a problem." And this lady in this picture looks very serious. "We have a problem," she's saying. So the ladies came up with an idea. It was a very clever idea. They would fool the chickens. So the ladies started by exercising. Oh, and they're doing back bends and swinging their arms up in the air, and they're doing side bends. And soon the chickens, just like the ladies, were exercising too. And the chickens are doing side bends and back bends and pushing rocks to build their muscles. Day after day, the chickens exercised just like the ladies. Oh, they're pushing big rocks around. Their wings grew stronger and stronger. Then the ladies lifted the chickens one by one into the air and said, "Remember, you are birds." The chickens flew to places on the cliffs where no other Icelandic birds lived. There they made their nests and laid their eggs. Now, does anybody listening out there know that this is pretty unusual for chickens to fly very far? You know, most chickens cannot fly very far. And it is true that Icelandic chickens who come from this place, Iceland, do know how to fly. They do. So I don't know if this story is true or not, but somehow they did learn how to fly, and maybe it was these ladies giving them the exercise and the courage and reminding them that they're birds. But it is true, they can fly. So they were able to fly onto the cliffs where it's safe to lay their eggs. See, if they lay their eggs on the cliffs, the foxes and the raccoons and everybody who wants to eat the eggs can't get them. So they can keep their eggs away from everybody who wants to munch on them. Well, we'll get back to the story. See, having the chickens lay their eggs on the cliffs could have been a problem, but the ladies had planned for this. The chickens weren't the only ones who got strong from all that exercise. See, they were tricking the chickens by making them exercise, but they also got exercise, too, in the process, so everybody benefited. Finally, the strong chickens in the far end of Iceland acted like birds, and the strong Icelandic ladies had no problem gathering the eggs. See, the ladies had figured out a way to use a rope and help one of them go over the side and down the cliff, holding onto the rope and gathering the eggs. See, they were so strong, they could climb up and down the cliff with help of a rope. And so from then on, the ladies had plenty of eggs, and the chickens could fly in Iceland. The end. Wow, what a great story about chickens doing what they do naturally, right? Laying eggs and sharing them. And humans doing what they do naturally. Love and intelligence. Putting those two qualities together, our love and our intelligence, to take care of our chicken friends so that they can keep taking care of us. And it just goes round and round. And I am so excited to share this next story with you because it is another example, another amazing example of how we help each other. This story is called The Snake and the Egg by Doug Elliott. And it's just great about how challenging it can be to take care of our chicken friends, right? It actually takes a lot of intelligence. If we're trying to grow anything like chickens or a garden, it takes a lot of smarts because there is no end to problems, right, guys? Anybody out there have any problems raising chickens, right? There's no end to problems. We have to keep them warm. We have to keep them safe. We have to keep them fed. And how do we do all of that? And how do we raise the food for them? And oh my goodness, we are problem solvers though, thankfully. And this is a great story to show you how.
Big black snake, he's crawling across my yard. There's a big black snake, he's crawling across my yard. He may be moving slow, but Lord, he's working hard. Well, speaking of snakes, I'd like to tell you a true story. It happened right around my home place here in Rutherford County, North Carolina. We have a nice little country place with a big garden where we grow a lot of our own food. We have a few fruit trees, a fish pond, and we keep a few chickens, too. And when they're laying, we can get fresh eggs almost every day. It's a pretty nice little scene. But, of course, you wouldn't say things are completely under control all the time. Like one year, my wife, Yana, had set out this long row of strawberry plants, and we were getting excited because the first berries were just about to come on. There were big old green berries laying out there soaking up the sun. It looked like in another week we'd be eating plenty of strawberries. Boy, I could almost taste them. Well, let me tell you, the next time we went out there to check on those berries, almost all the plants were withered up and they were dead. The berries were still hanging on there. Nothing had even touched the berries. We couldn't imagine what had happened to those plants. Well, I shoved my hand down into the soil underneath the plants, and there was a tunnel where the roots used to be. And that tunnel went from one plant to the next, down the whole row. Well, you know what it was? It was voles. Now, voles are like chubby underground mice. They live under the ground like moles, but they're rodents, and they have two pairs of cutting front teeth like mice and chipmunks and squirrels. Now, most of the rodents we have around here eat seeds and nuts, so they aren't usually a problem while the garden's growing. But voles' favorite food is the roots of plants. Sometime those little rascals will move into our potato patch, and they'll start feasting on those young potatoes. Like one year, we had to dig our potatoes in July while they were still small, just to get them out of the ground before the voles ate them all. But you know, one time I was sitting out on the porch, and right out in front, there in the flower bed, we had this clump of poppies. Well, I was sitting there, and I was admiring their bright orange flowers when I saw one of those poppies just waving back and forth. Well, I started to wave back to it, and I thought, now hold it, what's happening here? There was no breeze blowing. None of the other poppies were moving. There was just this one. I thought, now what is this? Is this some new variety of floppy poppy, or what is this? Well, I couldn't figure what was happening. What is getting into this poppy? Well, I watched that poppy wave back and forth a few times, and the next thing you know, it got yanked right down into the ground. Those voles were under there pulling them in by the roots. Now, I mean, if that's not enough, there's a whole nother scene going on around a chicken coop. Now, we're always trying to keep our chickens well fed. We feed them scratch feed, which is usually cracked corn and wheat and different kinds of grains. We want to make sure that chickens always have enough to eat. But the problem is that a lot of the time, they don't finish all their food during the day. And some of that food will be left over at night. And with all that corn and grain laying out there on the ground all night, the next thing you know, it starts to attract rats and mice. And we start seeing rat holes all around the chicken coop, and they start multiplying. I mean, it's like rats in the chicken coop, moles in the lawn, mice in the rafters chewing till dawn, got bats in the belfry, chipmunks in the wall, coons in the corn patch, and that ain't all. Got voles in the tater patch, squirrels in the attic, shrews in the compost. It's making me erratic. Well, I was complaining to one of my neighbors, and I said, I don't know what we're going to do. If it's not the voles, it's the mice. If it's not the mice, it's the rats. If it's not the rats, it's some other critter. I don't know, but those critters are about to eat us out of house and home. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was ranting and raving. My neighbor said, buddy, you know what you need to do? You need to set you up some snake boards. I said, snake boards? What are snake boards? He said, well, you just get you some boards. Like, well, what kind of boards? He says, just any old boards will do. The wider the better. You can use plywood or even old roofing tin will work. You just lay them all around your garden, and you just prop each board up with some rocks so there's just a couple of inches off the ground. He said, now I'll tell you what's the truth, buddy. There's nothing a snake likes better than the dry, dark space under a nice, warm board. And what you do is you set them boards up all around your garden, and then the snakes will move in, and once you have a bunch of snakes hanging around, they'll take care of all them critters. They'll eat your mice and your rats and your voles and everything. Oh, great, I said. What about attracting copperheads and rattlesnakes? Now, I don't need any of them in the yard. He said, there ain't that many copperheads and rattlers around. And this way, if there are any, you'll find out about it. And all the rest of the snakes we have around here, they aren't poisonous. And about every one of them is big enough will eat mice and rats. Well, I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, by golly, I'm going to try that. So every time I'd go by a construction site and I'd see a scrap pile with some old boards or pieces of plywood in there, I'd grab them up, throw them in the back of the pickup truck, and take them home. And I started putting them around the garden. Well, before long, we had boards just laying all around the yard. Our place was starting to look a little bit trashy, you know, but sometimes country life gets like that. Every now and then, I'd go around and check those boards. And I'd lift the boards up carefully, one at a time. Well, one day, I lift up this big piece of paneling, and I could not believe my eyes. There was not one, but there was two black rat snakes in there. And these were big ones, too. And I thought, yeah, hallelujah, my snake boards are working. All right, black rat snakes, all right. Now, black rat snakes, they're about the biggest kind of snake we have around here. And they aren't poisonous. And the reason they call them rat snakes is because they eat mice and rats. Well, I looked, and sure enough, one of those snakes had a big old lump in its belly. And I thought, man, the snake boards are working, and the snakes are working, too. All right. Well, that black snake's lump looked like maybe it had eaten that rat that had been hanging around the chicken coop. Well, you know how snakes don't chew their food? You know, they swallow it whole. Sometimes it'll take 2 or 3 weeks for a snake to digest just one large meal. So I figured it'd be fun to check in on that snake every now and then and see how long it would take for it to digest that rat. Well, every day or two, I'd go out and I'd lift those boards up and I'd look at those snakes. Sometimes friends would come over, you know, I'd say, hey, let's go check the snake boards. And we'd go out there and I'd lift that board up and those two snakes would lift their heads and their tongues would just come flickering out like as if they were saying, hey, what's going on? Turn out the lights. Put our roof back, will you? And I'd say, I'm just glad you're there, guys or girls or whatever you are. I'm just glad you're there. And I'd ease that board right back down. Now, I didn't want to disturb them. You know, I just wanted that snake to be able to digest its meal in peace. Well, then one day, our friend Thelma came to visit. Now, Thelma, she's this feisty city woman. But she loves to come out to our country place. And when she does, we take her all around. We show her the fish ponds. We show her the garden, the fruit trees, the chickens, you know. We call it our house and garden tour. She likes to see everything. We told her about the snake boards. Oh, yeah, she wanted to see the snakes, too. She wanted to see everything. So we were taking her around, and Yana was showing her the chicken yard. Well, Thelma loves to see the chickens and to see where they lay the eggs. In the chicken coop, we fixed up a nest box with leaves and straw to make a nice, soft nest where the hens can lay their eggs. Well, if you ever raised chickens, you probably know that one of the problems with chickens is getting the chickens to lay the eggs where you want them to. Chickens are kind of funny. When the hens are in a laying mode, they'll lay an egg almost every day. But their idea of where to lay them might not be the same as yours. I mean, sometimes they'll walk around in the pen, and they'll just plop an egg down right there on the bare ground. Sometimes they'll go off in the corner, and they'll lay a pile of eggs somewhere where you won't even see them. Or if you let them out during the day, they might go off and make a nest in the bushes somewhere, and they'll hide them from you. And that's where the custom of hunting for Easter eggs on Easter came from. Because back in the old days, in the spring, right around Easter, is when the chickens would start laying their eggs. And so people would have to go out and hunt the nests to get their eggs. Well, one of the best ways to get the hens to lay their eggs in a nest where you want them to lay is you have to leave one egg in the nest. And that egg's called the nest egg. And chickens, when they see that one egg laying there in the nest, they go, bark, bark, bark. Oh, look here, girls, bark. This is where we lay our eggs. Oh, yeah, good idea, bark. We'll make a clutch right here. And then each hen will sit down on that egg and lay her egg next to the nest egg. And so leaving that one nest egg in the nest keeps them coming back there to lay. Now, if you want, you can use a regular egg for a nest egg. But the problem is, if you use a real egg, you've got to mark that egg really well. So that way, you don't pick up the nest egg by mistake. Because after that nest egg has been lying there in the nest for a month or two, you don't want to take that one back to the house and try to cook it for breakfast. Have you ever tried to cook a rotten egg? Whew, yuck. It'll drive you out of the house. So we decided, all right, if we're going to use a nest egg, here we live in the 20th century, the space age, the age of plastics, we'll just try a plastic egg. So we put a grade A-sized plastic egg in the nest. And the chickens, they didn't mind at all. They didn't even seem to notice that it was plastic. They'd see that egg sitting there, and they'd say, Buck, oh, that's where we lay our eggs. Buck, look, someone's laid there already. Come on, girls. And they'd each take a turn and sit down on that plastic egg and lay their eggs all around that plastic one. And that worked great. This way, we always knew which egg was our nest egg, and it wasn't long before all those hens were laying their eggs in that nest box, just like we wanted them to. It seemed like everything was under control. Ha ha. Well, you know, while Yana was taking Thelma around, showing Thelma the chicken yard, she was telling her about our plastic nest egg. She was saying, you know, Thelma, the funniest thing happened. About 3 weeks ago, she said, that plastic nest egg just disappeared. Now, we couldn't imagine what had happened to our plastic egg. We cleaned the whole chicken coop out, and we could not find that egg. I mean, what in the world would take a plastic egg? We could not imagine. Well, it didn't take Thelma long at all. She says, I bet the snake ate it. I said, nah, that's too weird. Even from my backyard, Thelma, nah. And she said, I bet it did. Take me out there to those snake boards. Let's look at those snakes. Well, we went out there to the snake board, and I lifted that board up, and there was that snake with the lump in it. And you know, that lump did look sort of round. She says, there's your egg right there. I said, nah, couldn't be. I said, Thelma, would a snake be stupid enough to swallow a plastic egg? She said, a chicken's stupid enough to sit on one. Why wouldn't a snake be stupid enough to eat one? I thought, no, it couldn't be. I was still in complete denial. And Thelma said, there it is. I bet that's the egg. Yes, sir, that's that egg. You better do something about it, she said. That snake has got a hunk of plastic stuck in its belly, and that snake's going to die, and it's going to be your fault because you fed it a plastic egg. Now, you better do something. I thought, do something? What am I supposed to do? Snake surgery? I mean, I'm sure I could cut that snake open, but how would I sew it back up? And think of all the pain it would cause that snake. I thought, no, I don't know what to do. She says, you better catch that snake. You better do something. I thought, all right, I better at least catch that snake and check it out. Now, a lot of times when you try to catch a wild snake, they get really scared because to them, you're like a giant attacking them. And they'll flail around and they'll panic and they'll try to get away. Sometimes they'll get so scared they whirl around and bite you. Now, getting bitten by a snake that's not poisonous is really no big deal. Because if a snake is not poisonous, it just has little tiny teeth. And if it does bite, it just makes a little scratch, like the kind of scratches you get picking blackberries or running through the bushes. So I slowly reached down and I picked the snake up. I was as gentle as I could be. And I think that snake could tell by the way I handled it that I was friendly. It didn't try to get away. It didn't struggle. It didn't try to bite me. It seemed like maybe it knew I was trying to help. Well, I felt that lump, and it felt just like a plastic egg. And I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? All right, well, let's see. I decided I would take it up to the house. We might as well be scientific about this. We'll measure how long the snake is, and we'll measure how far the egg is down the snake. Then maybe we can call the science museum or figure something else to do. So we took it up to the house, and we measured it. The snake was 6 feet long, and that egg was 32 inches down that snake, almost halfway. And I thought, how am I going to get that egg out of there? I just couldn't see cutting that snake open. And then I got an idea. Maybe I could just squeeze behind that egg and push it right back up out of that snake. So I just started squeezing, gently but firmly. And that poor snake just started writhing about. Yana was trying to hold the snake, and I was squeezing gently and firmly as I could. And it seemed like I got that egg to move just a little bit. Yep. Maybe an inch. Then I squeezed a little more, and it moved another inch. Then I squeezed a little more, and it moved another inch. And I kept working that egg up that snake, inch by inch by inch. inch by inch, Yana was holding that snake, and I was squeezing away there, inch by inch by inch. And then I held the snake, and Yana squeezed, inch by inch by inch. We were making progress now, and that snake kept writhing back and forth, trying to help us as best as it could, and we kept squeezing that egg, inch by inch by inch. Inch, and then we got to the last maybe 18 inches or so, the last foot and a half, and the snake's own peristalsis took over. That's its own muscular contractions took over, and it seemed like that snake was bringing the egg up by itself, all on its own. So we just held that snake as gently as we could and watched that snake slowly move that egg along, inch by inch by inch. And in the meantime, the snake's mouth was open, its tongue was hanging out. And you know how a snake has a forked tongue? Well, the two tips of its forked tongue were stuck together, and there was a stream of clear drool coming off the tip of that snake's tongue. And that snake was making a noise, and it sounded something like this. Now, that's true. I mean, snakes don't usually make noise, but you sure could hear this one. And we watched that egg slowly move along that snake's neck, inch by inch by inch. We watched the neck swell up. We watched the head swell up. We watched the mouth and the jaws get unhinged and all distended. That mouth was just gaping wide open, and you could see something white in the back of that snake's throat. It was coming up. And that snake went, bluh, and that egg plopped forth on the ground. I picked it up. Well, there was our plastic egg. I rinsed it off and looked it over. I thought, oh, my goodness. That flimsy plastic egg looked just like it did when it was back in the hen house almost a month ago. It was absolutely unchanged. 3 weeks in that snake's belly didn't affect that plastic egg one bit. Well, you know, snakes have very powerful digestive juices. And when a snake swallows a bird or a rat, it digests just about everything. The bones and the hair and the feathers and the toenails, all those parts of the animal. But as powerful as that snake's digestive juices were, it didn't even touch this thin plastic egg. And I thought, my goodness, you know how they're always talking about not throwing plastic out in the environment? Well, all of a sudden, it made sense to me what they're talking about. That's why they're always saying how plastic can be such a problem in nature. Nothing digests it. So anyway, I thought, that poor snake, it hadn't had any food or water for weeks. What can I do? So I took the snake, and I put it in a big empty aquarium tank that I had, and I put some rocks and boards and a dish of water in there with the snake. Well, that snake crawled right up to that dish of water. Its tongue flickered out a couple of times. And then that snake just started to drink. Well, it drank, and it drank, and it drank. It drank almost that whole dish of water. And then it just curled up in the corner of the tank. I guess it was just trying to rest. And that snake needed a little chance to rest and recover. I could imagine it had a sore throat. It certainly has a long enough throat to be sore. So, okay, I thought, I better keep it a little while, keep it overnight maybe, and make sure it's fully recovered before I let it go again. So I put a cover over the tank, and we left it alone till the next morning. Did you ever wake up with a black snake on your mind? Well, I can tell you, I sure did. The first thing I did when I came down the next morning was check on that snake. Well, it was coiled up, resting there in the corner of that tank, and it looked like it was in fine shape. Well, I figured I'd just let it go, but I was wishing that I could just feed it something. But I couldn't think of what I had that it would eat. We didn't have any fresh rats or mice handy. And then right there I hear, down at the chicken coop, it sounded like a hen might have just laid an egg. And you know, a hen makes a lot of noises after she lays an egg. And the rooster, he crows a lot too. I wondered, how would that snake relate to an egg now? I went running down the chicken coop, and I got down there and I looked in that nest, and sure enough, there was an egg. I picked that egg up, and that egg was still warm. Now, you talk about a fresh egg. You don't get an egg any fresher than that. I took that egg back, and I put it right in there with that snake. That snake lifted up its head, and its tongue started flickering out all around that egg. And we watched that snake's mouth open up and that lower jaw slide under that egg. And soon the snake's entire head was distended and stretched out around that egg. Well, we watched that egg slowly move down that snake's neck, inch by inch by inch. Just like we'd watched the day before, but going the right way this time. And this time, when it got into the snake about 8 or 9 inches, the egg just stopped. And the snake bent its body at a right angle, just made like a corner with its body, and sure enough, that egg stayed there for a minute, and all of a sudden you could hear a sound. It sounded something like this. And we looked, and that lump that used to be the whole egg just collapsed. The snake had a place where it could break the egg right in its body. And then that egg slid right down into the snake's belly. And in another minute, you couldn't even tell that snake had eaten anything. And that snake looked up, and you know, it's hard to read the expression on a snake. But it seemed like that snake was saying, "Ah, now that's the way an egg's supposed to be." Well, I kept that snake around for a little while, and I fed it a few more eggs, and then I let it go. And for a number of years after that, that snake kept coming back, and every year we'd see that snake. It got so tame that it would actually take an egg out of my hand. And you know, we don't use a plastic egg as our nest egg in our chicken coop anymore. We leave a real egg out there. And you know, sometimes in the summer, our nest egg will disappear. But we just figure that eggs... Well, eggs are not very expensive, but a good rat catcher is a precious thing indeed. And that's the true story of the snake and the egg. Did you ever wake up with a black snake in your yard? He might be moving slow, but Lord, he's working hard.
Having a quick break from our busy day to eat. Oh, I brought something new for a snack today, Squeaks. I brought some hard-boiled eggs. I can crunch up the shell a bit and then peel it off with my hands. And then a little sprinkle of salt for flavor. And yum! Oh, that's true, Squeaks. Hard-boiled eggs are quite a bit different from raw ones. They may look the same on the outside, but boiling an egg changes what we find inside the shell. When you crack open a raw egg, there's a clear, goopy liquid part called the egg white and a smaller circle of yellow liquid called the yolk. But take a look at my hard-boiled egg. What do you notice about it? Oh yeah, the egg is solid. The egg white has turned white and firmed up into the shape of, well, an egg. And inside of it, we can see that the yolk has become a solid yellow circle with a kind of crumbly texture. Oh, well, Squeaks, the inside of this egg became solid when I boiled it. Cooking food in different ways, like boiling, can change a lot about them. When you boil food, you're heating that food up a lot by sticking it into really hot water. And that can do some really strange things to food. Carrots get softer, butter and ice cream melt, and eggs, well, they get harder and tougher. Why do you think that is, Squeaks? Yeah, it is a tough question. But how about this? What do we know about eggs? They are really yummy. And they're also really good for us. Do you remember why? That's right. They are full of protein. And proteins are a kind of nutrient that we need. That's right, Squeaks. Proteins can help people grow strong muscles. And they're also why cooked eggs are hard. If you had a really powerful microscope, you could actually zoom in and see all the proteins inside a raw egg. They would kind of look like folded laundry floating in water. But when you boil the egg, the heat makes the proteins unfold. And the parts that unfold are really sticky. So when the unfolded proteins bump into each other, they get stuck. After about 12 minutes, most of the nicely folded proteins end up stuck together into big, messy clumps. And then if you zoomed back out, you'd see that all those clumpy proteins make a solid egg. Now, what do you think will happen to our solid egg when it cools back down? Ah, you got it! Even though the heat is gone, the proteins stay stuck together, so the egg stays solid. That means you can't uncook an egg by putting it in ice. Once it's solid, it stays that way. Ooh, but what if I took the egg out earlier, like just after 5 or 6 minutes? Oh, that's right. It takes time for the proteins to unfold and stick together. So if you pull the egg out of the water earlier, it's somewhere in between goopy and solid. The longer we boil and heat an egg, the more proteins can clump together, and the firmer the inside of the egg becomes. Some people actually choose to pull their eggs out earlier because they like the middle of their eggs to be a bit runny. They call them soft-boiled eggs. Ooh, they do sound yummy, don't they? Do you want to try making some? Let's do it. Cooking things can make some big changes to your foods. So it's a great way to try some at-home experiments. With a grown-up's help, you can try soft-boiling and hard-boiling eggs too, and observe the different textures. I wonder which you'll think is tastiest. Good luck with your experiments. And remember, if you'd like to keep exploring with me, Squeaks, Mr. Brown, and all of our friends, make sure to hit the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time here at the fort.
Well, folks, that last song, I think, said it best, right? Lead with your heart and put love into everything you do. And abundance, wonderful things will come to you. Marvelous things will come to you. That's how it works, guys. And that's what we're here to do on planet Earth is share and share the abundance of what we have. And what do we humans have a lot of? We have a lot of love and intelligence. And we put those two things together to take care of all the creatures around us. And so we've been celebrating chickens and eggs, especially today. Because they came first, right? The chickens and the eggs. And chickens take such good care of us with all of the abundance of their eggs that they are willingly sharing with us. And they love being with us, apparently. They follow us around. If anybody has any chickens who love you, you know what I'm talking about, right? They love us. And what do? Well, we love them back. And it's through our care for them, our heart, our care, and our understanding, our ability to understand how they feel and what they need, then we can use our brains, our intelligence, to figure out how to do it best, right? All the problem solving that the humans on our show today had to do in order to take care of their chickens. First, they had to understand where they're coming from, or even understand where the snakes are coming from. Boy, can you imagine trying to do that? Understand what a snake is thinking and feeling and what it needs, right? And by loving that snake, that farmer was able to take care of that snake and help it and use his intelligence and his strength, which I'm sure he gets partly from the eggs, right? So it all goes around and around and around. I just love it. We're taking care of the chickens by taking care of the snakes, and they're taking care of us by taking care of themselves, and we're all just taking care of each other. And I just think that's so beautiful, guys. I am so glad that you are here on planet Earth with me at this time. Isn't this amazing? You're here, I'm here, and what are we here to do? Well, act naturally. Love all of the people and things around you, and use our smarts to figure out how we can best take care of each other. That's it. It's pretty simple, but it's also really a lot of fun, and it feels really good too. Thank you for joining me, guys, for Amy's Kids Show. I'll be back next week. What are we going to celebrate next? I'll have to mull that over. Thank you for joining me. Remember, you are the greatest, and there is no end to things to celebrate. Don't worry. Have a great time.